Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This video is about immigration to the United Kingdom, both legal and illegal, looking back through 2024 through 2025. Well, the big takeaway is it's fallen significantly, but it's still much, much higher than it would have been 10 years ago. I remember in the run-up to the Brexit referendum in 2016, that net migration was at 300,000 per annum. David Cameron had come into office, promising to get it down to 100,000 per annum and never came close to that. I should say 100,000 net. If you take into account those leaving the country and those coming in, that's what it is. But actually, Labour under Tony Blair abolished exit controls. They didn't even count those who are leaving. So presumably the emigration figures were just an estimate. The other point, this could be Britons who moved to the USA or Germany or wherever, or indeed people from whatever country, let's say it's Bulgaria, spent a few years in the United Kingdom and decided to move elsewhere, not necessarily back to Bulgaria, anywhere. So could be either one of those things. And that was thought to be way too high. And that was one of the major factors behind Brexit, partly because of the European Union. The United Kingdom had almost no control whoever who came in. If someone was convicted of a serious crime, and I don't mean shoplifting or vandalism, he or she could be deported. If somebody hadn't found a job after over 6 months, he or she could be deported. Having said that, I never heard of a single case of that happening, and so on. And we saw in the coronavirus lockdown, EU member states, they stopped movement between the member states for a while. But the United Kingdom was so good at preventing Geert Wilders, a Dutch politician from a European Union member state, coming to the United Kingdom to deliver a lecture. He was deported in 2008, but couldn't stop dangerous criminals doing the same. Strange, hey? Anyway, so the Conservative Party was an abysmal failure on this issue, coming to net 900,000 immigrants in 2023. Now that's partly because there was sort of because after coronavirus there was 3 years of worth of immigration at one. 2020, 2021, basically nobody could move. Then there are various things. The Ukraine war came in 2022, the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban in 2021, and of course when China began to severely oppress Hong Kong. So Johnson, to his credit, Prime Minister Boris Johnson honoured the United Kingdom's debt to the people of Hong Kong, and so with British nationality overseas would be allowed to live in the United Kingdom for 5 years and thereafter gain indefinite leave to remain and indeed citizenship. So about 200,000 of them took advantage of that. And obviously not enough was done to get some Afghans out, Afghan people who'd work for NATO and their relatives. Troubles in Afghanistan is we could be talking about a man, his wife and nine children. And what about his sister? And what about his wife's brother? And what about his cousins? I mean, how far does family go? Especially because family is everything in Afghanistan. And Boris Johnson loosened the immigration rules, and way more people came in. Now, it's partly labour market problems, is the dependency culture, the parasitical class in the United Kingdom, who view being on benefits as a career, and it's multi-generational in some cases, being on the sick. And this goes back to Maggie Thatcher with mass unemployment in the 1980s, 15% unemployment, which varied hugely. In somewhere like Surrey, it had been 2%. In somewhere like, County Durham, it might have been 30%. And so it was less embarrassing for the government to people to go on the sick, claim to be disabled, even when they're clearly not. And how come we have far more people disabled in both relative and absolute terms now than in the 1960s, bearing in mind maybe people don't do physically demanding jobs? They're usually not working in factories, farms, coal mines, shipyards, and stuff like that. Can be desk bound, but somehow they're too ill, they're too depressed, they've got too much anxiety. So we'll partly turn people into wimps, and partly people are gaming the system. And I know people who work in benefits who say, yeah, a lot of them are scroungers, malingerers, idlers, and there are people who are genuinely disabled who really, really can't work. I accept that. There are very few people who are completely unable to work. So the tightening up of the rules under Rishi Sunak has actually had an effect now, and Labour has reaped the reward of that. Some ways it went too far, that you may not bring in a foreign spouse unless you earn over £38,000 a year. Now that's not fair. What about the right to family life? Poor people as well as rich people have the right to love. And I suppose you could say, well, you can go to live in her country or his country, whether it's, the Philippines or Kenya or Canada or Paraguay or whatever, but getting into the other country might be very, very difficult. So goodness. And then there's the crackdown on care workers. Well, that's preposterous because you're not going to get enough British people to do it. I mean, I wish you would. We've got to incentivize people and just take away most benefits. But immigration trends are down, and that is a success for Labour. continuing those policies. So I think they could be a bit less alarmist and maybe want to go a bit further on immigration. I'm not against immigration. That would be preposterous. Every country's always had immigration, unless it's someone like North Korea, shall always have immigration. So immigration can be a good thing. And people who come to another country, I don't think they're like saintly. They're not charity workers. We can decanonize them, but they're not wicked. They want a better life. They want more money. Fine. I've worked in loads of other countries. We can introduce a guest worker concept with no possibility to get indefinitely to remain. What about their children? I don't think the crackdown went too far, and a lot of this blame lies with Theresa May when she was Home Secretary, the hostile environment policy, which I agree with up to a point, but it impacted, completely innocent people. The Windrush generation, British citizens were deported from the United Kingdom. That is scandalous, and there ought to be a public apology. Wow, a lot of compensation needs to be paid for them. It should come out of the pockets of people like Theresa May, who was personally responsible. And then there were some people from Windrush who came to the UK as babes in arms in the 1950s, assumed they were British citizens, were British in everything except the narrowest sense, and then got kicked out. And now that's not fair. Even their children born in the United Kingdom, again, were British in everything except the most pedantic definition. And they lost their rights, and that's not fair. And they need to get that. I'm surprised Labour hasn't made a meal out of this. I would, if I were them, some public ceremony in Starmer personally handing them their passport or whatever. That would play really well with BAME communities whom Labour regards as a vote bank. So migration trends are down because up to 2024, it was 940,000 legal immigrants is 1.3 million in 2023. Now, so. The non-European Union immigrants, they count for about 80% of this now, whereas before Brexit, it's about 50-50. 50% of immigrants were from the European Union, 50% were from not the European Union. I recognise being an immigrant is a completely honourable thing to be. So net migration in 2024 is down to something like 430,000. But the thing is, over 200,000 of that are students. And most students come to the United Kingdom, study for a year or a few, and leave. Like a very high majority. So that's fine. So if we'd remove students from the figures, the net migration figures, so there's a bit over 200,000. So it's actually not that bad. Might even be the right level, maybe reduce it a little bit. So I'm actually less alarmist than I was. And Labour, I hate to say it, does deserve a certain amount of credit for this. Then there's illegal immigration. Legal and illegal are totally different things. Nobody's a bad person for being a legal immigrant. Illegal immigration is bad. That is a crime. No, you don't have the right to cross borders. If you want to cross border, you have to go through a legal port of entry, get a visa if required, and obey the rules. I mean, I was caught in Kazakhstan. I accidentally overstayed my visa by one day. They wouldn't even let me out of the country. If they're over there illegally, boot me out. Don't keep me in. What sense does that make? I mean, if I've been there for months illegally, all right, that might be different. Take me to court, fine me. They didn't do anything except make me miss my flight, maybe say like another 3 days. So I had to pay for another flight. Goodness. It's all a bit. If I arrive on Monday and leave on Tuesday, I've been there for one day or two. I was arguing one, they're saying no two. I mean, I was allowed to be there for 30 days and I accidentally miscounted and stayed for 31. And so we go on. So now Labour's, instead of calling it illegal immigration, calling it irregular immigration. So people are obviously not refugees. If you crossed a dozen safe countries, why would you come to the United Kingdom? Because it's a soft touch. So the UK deports away fewer of them. Even if you do get deported in the United Kingdom, you're going to be here for years, take about a year and a half to have a hearing. To be deported, appeal that, take another 6 months, appeal that, take another 6 months. By the end of 2.5 years, you might get indefinitely to remain anyway, especially if a child born in the UK.
Yep.
So blend into the United Kingdom. There might be a community of people of your nationality. If you learn a foreign language, more likely to learn English. Are the benefits better? The United Kingdom is paying hundreds of millions of pounds to France to cooperate on this, and the French cooperation, is not excellent on this issue. So a 22% rise from last year is going up. It was 1,000 people in one day. So the government's response is grossly inadequate. Now, Labour, long and loud, denounced the Rwanda plan, and Rwanda was the wrong place to pick. I was for the Rwanda plan in principle, but I recognise in practice it failed. And at the Conservative conference last year, people banging on and on and on about how what a good idea it was, they should stuck with it. The taxpayer spent hundreds of millions of pounds on this. It deported three people, all of whom went voluntarily. One thing they do to deport illegals is they say to these people, will pay you 5,000 quid or something to go to Afghanistan as a resettlement package. Is it a bribe? If it is, I don't care. That's a fraction of the cost of housing the people for a couple of years, all the lawyers' fees to get them deported. So I'm in favor of that because it saves the taxpayer money in the long run. Now they're looking for the people of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, various countries in that part of Europe, and the United Kingdom will pay to house them, to feed them, medical care, education costs of their children. If they ever get asylum, they'll be there. It's the same idea as the Rwanda plan, but not in Rwanda. Rwanda was a lot wrong place to pick. Now, Italy tried this with Albania, paying a lot of money. Giorgia Meloni's plan was blocked by the Italian judges, who somehow breached their human rights. And this is why it's important to withdraw from the European Convention of Human Rights. So, I mean, I agree with most of the convention. I agree with it more than most people, because when I say the right to life, I really mean the right to life for people. And when I say people, I mean all people. And that includes children. And that includes babies. And that includes those in utero. A person's a person, no matter how small. The most vulnerable people are most in need of protection. I'm a real child protector. We're always told we've got to protect children. Yeah, let's do it for the greatest danger. Now, this right to life obviously can be forfeited if you try to start stabbing people, or if you present an immediate danger, and the minimum force used to neutralize you is to kill you sometimes. Sometimes the police are right to do that, and inevitably they're going to get wrong sometimes, or in a war. But anyway, so Labour, isn't this rather hypocritical to say that they have offshore processing, but they're obviously worried about the risk of the Reform UK. And as Starmer is saying, Reform United Kingdom is the real opposition. And that is the final insult to the Tory party. The Conservative Party is not even seen as a threat to Labour. I think the Conservative Party is underestimated a little. So the Labour Party has to try and neutralise this issue, because they recognise some of the working class communities, especially in Northeast England, which were strongly Labour. They could fall to Reform UK, and the local elections beginning of last month, that put the frighteners on Labour. Assimilation is a dirty word. No, I don't think so. So you come to the United Kingdom, you live here, assimilate, learning English. I think that's a must, really, and I don't expect people to be perfect, but I think don't think it's wrong people of Indian extraction to wear saris. I don't mind people speaking in other languages well, like Gujarati or Spanish or Urdu or anything. Remember a Turkish boy saying to me, "You wouldn't allow the Indians here to speak their language." Yes, I would. I would. And I don't object to people cooking Chinese cuisine or celebrating Chinese New Year or having German beer halls. I see the country as enriched by that. I don't insist on a monoculture. I don't want the United Kingdom to be monochromatic. I mean, I realize that cultures, they cross-fertilize. And that's a gain and not a loss. I'm not someone who's there to enforce purity, racial, cultural, anything like that. You can have a melange. So cultures are not hermetically sealed. They both receive and transmit memes. It's chilly there in the capital of Australia. So, but Labour has achieved some success in this, and there's an obviously less attackable surface for the Conservative Party. And Labour want to negate this as an issue that Reform UK can hold on to. But even though the numbers do come down, people may not perceive it that way. There's a big gap between perception and reality, and there'll be some high-profile cases of illegal immigration. And obviously, Reform UK will harp on and on and on about that. Goodness. What else? So, it's a bad thing to do. It is a crime to immigrate illegally. But if you have an absolutely overwhelmingly strong reason, you should be forgiven and allowed asylum, as in the well-founded fear of torture or death or something like that. But not if you've come through a dozen safe countries. You crossed from Syria to Turkey. Turkey was safe. You could have stayed there. Okay, maybe it wasn't. We could have stayed in Greece and Bulgaria. If you cross these safe countries, I think you should be automatically rejected. And I realize they're not monsters for doing this. And if I were in their situation, if I were Iranian or Afghan or Syrian or Somali or whatever, I might do the same. And I know someone, consider him almost a friend, who came to the United Kingdom illegally at the age of 17 in 2003 in the back of a lorry. Okay, he shouldn't have done it. It wasn't the worst crime. He was going to be deported. Then his country was about to join the European Union. He was allowed out, allowed to stay. He's married in the UK. He's got children born in the United Kingdom. They're British citizens. And that was a long time ago. It wasn't a terrible thing he did as a minor. So it's not like I want to punish people to the nth degree. I don't take a Donald Trump attitude of being utterly merciless, even decades later, to deport you to break up the family. No, that's not fair. We've got to have some sort of proportionality, some clemency. Anyway, so Labour has had some success on this. Now, doubt the lefties will say, "Oh no, we can never deport anyone. We can never have any immigration policy, whatever. Racist, racist, racist." And saying an island of strangers. Well, imagine if a Tory said it, he'd be crucified. But people were saying that what Starmer said was redolent of what Enoch Powell said. that notorious Rivers of Blood oration in March 1968 at a Birmingham hotel, the MP for Wolverhampton South West, Enoch Powell, a Conservative, saying, like the Roman, "I am filled with foreboding. I see the Tiber foaming with much blood," saying that a multiracial Britain would be absolutely cataclysmic. There would be racial conflict. And quoting with evident approbation, an anonymous constituent, "In 10 or 15 years, the black man will hold the whip hand over the white man," which is complete nonsense, which never happened. There doesn't have to be racial conflict. It doesn't have to be one race holding whip hand over another at all. I certainly don't like that image. So I'm very happy with racial integration and people mixing. And so I embrace multiracial Britain. It's never going to go back to basically monoracial. I wouldn't want it to. That's fine. I wouldn't care if the UK never had a white prime minister again. I mean, I don't want that. I'd just be indifferent to it. So, you know, Kemi Badenoch, all right, there are many things wrong with her, not her race. Hello there. Well said. Oh, your views. Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. Anyway, thanks so much for tuning into my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com, and do what you can to promote harmonious relations between the races.